What I'd like to analyze this evening is, as the title indicates, the unique nature of the concept of Simcha on Purim. A very important part of understanding halacha and Jewish life properly is to catch distinctions, not only Kiddush but also Havdalah. Distinctions are very important. So even those concepts which seem similar often have a point of differentiation. So we're going to look at this evening, basing it primarily on the Rambam, but I'll bring in other sources as well, is which ways the expression and the very nature of our having Simcha on Purim, it differs from the obligation of Simcha on Yom Tov, and what are the implications of these differences. We'll start first with Shabbos, because contrary to the many of the Zmiros, technically in Halacha, the word Simcha is not applied to Shabbos. What we have in Shabbos or Shabbat is Kavod Va'onek. So in Perek Lamed of Hilchot Shabbat, Halacha Zayin in the Rambam, Ezehu Oneg, Zeshamu Chachamim Shetzarich Letakein, Tavshil Shamein Bioter, Umashke Mevusam Shabbat, Hakol Lefi Mimono Shel Adam. That a person is part of expressing Oneg on Shabbat has to have put together a special meal with proper a cooked thing that should be fat and proper spicy liquid, depending on the person's financial ability to pay. Cholamarbe b'tzoat Shabbat b'tikun machalim rabim v'tovim hareze mishubach. And you can spend more and have even nicer food. That's praiseworthy. V'mein yado maseget afilu lo asa shalak yosibo. If he can't afford it, if he had some kind of a cooked soup and something like it, mishum kvod Shabbat reza onik Shabbat. V'eino chayav la'atzer la'atzmo l'sh'ol ma'acherim de la'arbot b'machal b'Shabbat. And if he doesn't have the money, he shouldn't have to go out and borrow from others in order to eat properly on Shabbat. Amru chachamim harishonim, asei Shabbatcha chol v'al titztarech labriot. Rather than having to be dependent on others, so you can eat regular food on Shabbat. Now we get to Yom Tov. Then Yom Tov starts off in Rabban Hilchot Yom Tov Perek Vav Halachat Zayin, Kishem Kshe Mitzvah Lechabed Shabbat Alanog Ba Log Ba Kol Yomim Lanog Kach Kol Yomim Tovim. So the mitzvah of Kibud Va'oneg, which existed on Shabbat, are extended to Yom Tov, as it says in Shayo, L'kdosh Hashem Mechubad, V'chol Yamim Tovim Nemar Behem Mikra Kodesh, and since they're Mikra Kodesh, it's L'kdosh Hashem, U'kvar B'yano HaKibud V'oneg B'lchot Shabbat. V'chen Ro'el Adam Shelo Yisod V'arve Yom Tov Min Mincha L'malak Erev Shabbat, Shkidav Zeh B'chal HaKavod. You shouldn't eat too much before Yom Tov and Shabbat, so you should have an appetite for Shabbat. All right, so I'm skipping to the next halacha. Shabbat Yimei HaPesach, Shabbat Yimei HaChag, Mishai Yamim Tovim, Kulam, Asurim Behesped B'tanit. If someone passes away, you don't mourn them, you don't fast. V'chayav Adam Liot Behen Sameach V'tov Leiv. Notice on Shabbat we just said, Kavod va'oneg. Here we add the v'samech v'tov leiv. Hu v'anav v'ishtov neveto v'chol hanuvim alav. And it's not just the individual, but he has to involve the entire family and those who are attached to it. Shenema v'samachta b'chagecha, afal pi sh'asimcha amurakan hi korban shlamim, k'mo sh'anam mevarim b'chot chagiga, yesh b'chal oto simcha, sameh hu uvnav v'nei beito kol achad v'achad k'ro'i lo. Even though specifically it's referring to by bringing a korban and eating from the korban shlamim an yom tov, you should make people happy, whatever makes them happy. Famous Rambam goes on, Ketzar ha-ketarim noten lehem klayot ve-gozim u-migdanot. The young children, you give them candy to eat, because that's what they like better. V'anashim kono lehem begadim v'tachshitin na'im kufim emono. And you have to buy nice clothing and jewelry for your wife, according to your ability to pay for it. V'anashim ochlin basar v'shotin yayin. She'ein simcha b'basar v'ein simcha b'yayin. And the men, they're the big eaters. They eat meat and they drink wine. And that's simcha. And then important, it's not relevant to Ashir, but it's important to mention anyway. That a meal of simcha yom tov has to include those in need. Right? The stranger, the orphan, the widow. Poor. Our mission, O El Glatot Chatserov, O Chel, the Shoter, who Vanav Ishtova Enomachel, Mashkelaniim, Lamare Nefesh, Enzu Simchat Mitzvah, Simchat Kreso. But if a person only serves his family and doesn't provide for those in need, that's not the Simcha of the Mitzvah. Okay. Next, go to Halacha Yutet. Afa pisha achila ushtia b'moadot b'chal mitzvat asei, lo yeh ochel b'shoteh kol yom kulo. Doesn't mean you should spend your whole time eating and drinking. Lakachi adat b'boker mashkimin kol ha'am l'vatek nesiyot l'vatek medrashot mitpalin v'korein b'toral b'inyan hayom v'chozin l'vateihem v'ochlin v'ochlin l'vatek medrashot korein v'shonin at katzi hayom. You have to divide the day up, spend time davening, time learning, as well as the time eating and drinking. And now here comes the important part, because this is the contrast to Purim. Shadam ochel v'shoteh v'sameach b'regel, lo yimshach b'yayin u'bischok u'bekalat rosh. No, don't drink too much wine. Don't play games. Don't be lightheaded. That's not Simchat Mitzvah. Shahashikrut vaschok harbe v'kalut harosh eino simcha el hololut v'sichlut. No, being wild, getting drunk, you know, all kinds of games. That's not really simcha. That's foolishness and wildness. I mean, I don't even have to start Hilchot Megillah, and you're already saying, whoops, what, you know? All the things that the Rambam says are not proper expressions of Simcha is what we do on Purim, right? On Yom Tov, you have to have a good meal, and you have to drink a little bit. But if you get drunk and you get wild, that's not Simcha Shel Mitzvah, that's not appropriate. Okay. Now let's go to Hilchot Megillah. And they talk about the meal we're supposed to eat on Purim. Hilchot Megillah, V'chanaka Perak, Bet, Halacha Tetzvav, Ketzar Chovat Tz'uda Zo, Shiyocha Basar, V'yitkein Tz'uda Na'e, Kefiyesha Tzimtzeh. Don't have a lovely meal, v'shote yayin ad sheyishtaker v'yirdom v'shichut. Comes Purim, you're supposed to drink at the meal till you get drunk, and you fall asleep from drunkenness. So the question is, the Rambam said that if you get drunk at the Suda during Yom Tov, that's not the mitzvah of Simcha, that's Holot v'sichlot, it's not about that Hashem, it's inappropriate. When it comes to Purim, the Simcha of Purim, right, you drink at the meal, drunk, doesn't seem to bother Rambam at all. He just said a few, halachot earlier, that's not appropriate. Why is it appropriate in Purim and not appropriate in Yom Tov? So the first thing we see is that the Simcha of Purim and the Simcha of Yom Tov are clearly different. Right? They're expressed somewhat in different ways. I brought him with Shabbat to indicate Shabbat is Kibbutz V'Oneg, it's not quite Simcha. All right. So in order to get this distinction, I want to see how this distinction plays out in other ways as well. So the Mishnah in Moed Katan, Daf Chet Amid Bet, says, Ein nosim nashim b'moed, lo betulot v'almanot, v'lo b'yabmin, v'bnei she'simcha hilo. Right? You don't get married on Chol HaMoed. It doesn't matter whether it's a single girl or a widow. You don't do Yibam because it's a source of joy. Now, the obvious question is, it's a source of joy? That's a problem in Chol HaMoed. It's supposed to be sad in Chol HaMoed. What do you mean? What's the problem if it's a source of joy? So the Gemara, if you turn to the other side of the page, Gemara, Ki simcha hilo, my havi. So what's wrong with that? What's the problem because it's a source of joy? It should be a good thing it's a source of joy. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia, V'amrilo Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, L'fi she'ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. In order to experience the joy of something, it cannot be diluted by trying to get two for the price of one. Right? If you want to have the simcha of the chag, remember, when I read the Rambam before, it wasn't only on the days of Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed was included. Shivat Yimei HaPesach, Ushmonat Yimei HaChag. Including all the days of Chol HaMoed, there's a mitzvah of Simcha. If you have a wedding, the wedding also is a mitzvah of Simcha. The two will interfere with the full expression of each one, right? I won't get the full expression of Simcha if I get two for the price of one, so to speak. Huh? That's the first explanation of the Gemara. Rabba Barav Huna Amar Bnei Shemei Niach Simchat HaRegel V'Osek V'Simchat Ishto Amar Le Abai Le Rav Yosef V'the Rabba Barav Huna The Rav Hu Da Marav Daniel Bar Katina Marav Minayin Shein Nosim Nashim B'Moed Shenemar V'Samacht B'Chagecha B'Chagecha V'Lo B'Ishtech. Second explanation is because you can't lessen in any way the Simcha of Yom Tov. Simcha of Yom Tov has to be full about Yom Tov. It's a din in Yom Tov, and therefore you can't dilute it by having a wedding, which is another source of Simcha. And then the Gemara gives two more reasons, which we're not going to be relevant. All right. Now it's important for us to see, because we're going to deal with whether one's allowed to get married on Purim or not. Which are the reasons on the Gemara is the one accepted by the Rambam? Why? If the Rambam was going to accept the reason b'samachta b'chagecha, b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha, that's a special halacha in Yom Tov, that the chag has to be by itself, it can't be mixed with any kind of simcha. So Purim technically is not a chag. I know we say chag Purim, but chag is a technical term. And a chag is associated with the Korban Chagigah, which obviously doesn't apply to Purim. A Chag is the Chagim in the Torah. It's Yom HaPurim, or Yomei HaPurim. Not, I don't want to take away from all the songs, right? But it's not Chag Purim. However, if it's Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, one would imagine that you shouldn't be able to get married on Purim either. Right? Because you're then diluting the Simcha. So look at the Rambam in Hilchot Ishut. The Rambam talks about a person, remember, initially a husband's allowed to have more than one wife. It's the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. The Sfaradim didn't have it anyway. The Rambam talks about someone marrying more than one woman. Yesh lo l'adam, the Hilchot Ishut, Perek Yud Halacha Yud Gimel, Yesh lo l'adam lisan nashim rabot ka'achat b'yom echad. He can have a multiple marriage. You can marry a number of women at once. Umavarek b'chat katanim l'kulan ka'achat, make the brachot at one time. Avol l'simcha tzirich l'smoch kol achat v'achat simcha haruya la. But each one deserves expression of simcha on its own. Each wife, and you can't combine them, right? In betula shiva and beula shlosha, we need 7 days of sheva brachot for the first marriage and for a person married before. There's only three days of simcha. We won't tackle whether it means the sheva brachot or something else. Why? The ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. Because you don't mix smachora. You don't dilute the simcha by having two of them at one catered meal. Each one has to be its own. So you see very clearly that the Rambam is not restricting this principle to Chol HaMoed. It's not just a halacha in Chag, Samachta b'chagecha v'lo b'shtecha, but it's a general rule that you, and just like you can't have a wedding on Chol HaMoed, you can't have two weddings at the same time, right? Because it dilutes. Right, we're talking about the same person. If two different people have weddings, it's a different simcha for each one of them. Then the Rambam continues. Mutar la'areis b'chol yom chol, filu b'tisha ba'av ben b'yom b'layla. You can get the eris, and you can make any day that's not a yontif. Aval ein nosim nashim lo be'erev shabbat, lo be'achad b'shabbat, Zema Shiva Dechul Shabbat, Betikura Suda, Shachatan, Tawib Besuda. So you don't get married on Fridays or Sundays. We get married on Sundays, but because the caterer does it, so we don't have to worry about the Chatan being caught up and Chas V'Shalom being Mechal Shabbat. Ve'ein Tzemek Lasa Alisa B'Shabbat. Ve'afil B'chol Shomoed Ein Osim Nashim K'mo Shebi'arnu, V'vi She'ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. Shenemar Maleshu Azot, Venatalach Gamet Zot, that the Rambam understood that Yaakov waited a week after marrying Leah to marrying Rachel and then worked for 7 more years. Not waiting 7 years to marry her, wait this week and then work for 7 more years. Do you see it had to be the 7 day break between the two? Vishar Hayamim, all the other days, Mutar lisa isha b'chol yom shirtze. You can get married any other day. Any other day was seen to include Purim. So according to the Rambam, there is no problem of ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha by having a wedding on Purim. Now, I have never been on a wedding on Purim, but I was on a wedding of one of my friends on Shushan Purim. Anything applies to Purim applies to Shushan Purim, 2 days of simcha. It was a very interesting day because he got married in Boston. It was before people flew. We convinced, at that point, there was one kosher fleishig restaurant at Yeshiva. We convinced him to open up in the morning so we could have a fleishig meal in the morning because we were going to be on the road all day. And then we found some poor people who came to ask for money. And then we did the minimum shach manot, as described in the Gemara. There used to be a Barton's candy store on 180. You don't even never heard of Barton's. It was a kosher candy store, and it had one on 181st Street. We went in, bought different kinds of candy, and gave it to each other. We circle, you know, going around the car, and then drove up to Boston for the wedding. All right. So you can get married on Purim, and it's not a contradiction. You can't have two weddings the same day. You can't have a wedding in Chol HaMoed because you can't mix the two smachot. But somehow the simcha of Purim is not commensurate. It's different. And it doesn't contradict having a wedding at the same time. All right. And maybe a more astonishing thing. That, what about Avelut? We know that if someone, Rachmana Litzlan, loses a relative before Yom Tov, right, the Yom Tov destroys the Shiva. Right. Shabbat, we don't express the Avelut, but the Avelut continues afterward. Right? Even in Dvarim Shabbatin, only private things are done on Shabbat. There's no public mourning on Shabbat. But Shabbat doesn't stop the Shiva period. Yom Tov stops. So that's what Rabbi Hilchot Aveir Perak Yud Halacha Gimel Haragalim Vechen Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim Ein Davar Midivrei Aveilut Noheg Ben. Right? V'Avokol HaKoveret Meito Afil Sha'a Achad Kodem Regel Okodem Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippurim Batlum Nenek Zeret Shiva. Right? Even an hour before Yom Kippurim, which normally you don't think is a very happy day, it takes off it eliminates the mourning. Okay, the rest of the Rambam we don't need for our purposes now. Rambam in the next, in Perek Yud Aleph, right, Halacha Aleph says, V'chein ein maspidin et hamet v'chanaku b'purim, v'lo roshei chadashim. If someone passed away in Purim, you don't have a hesped, and you don't, and not on Chanukah or Rosh Chodesh. Avol no again by hand kol divrei aveilut. But someone who passed away a few days before Purim, according to the Rambam, you mourn them on Purim. So now we have two very strange things according to the Rambam. We have a notion that you can't mix two kinds of smachot, but you can mix Purim with someone getting married. It's not a problem. We also know that Yom Tov, the simcha of Yom Tov, outweighs the avelut, the mourning, M-O-U-R-N. So if someone, a relative, passed away before Yom Tov, the Yom Tov eliminates the rest of the Shiva mourning period. But according to the Rambam, you mourn on Purim. Now, halacha l'maaseh, there's a three-way machloket. The Sheiltot says that Purim destroys the Avelot like Yom Tov. The Maharam Rutenberg says it's like Shabbat. You don't mourn publicly, but it doesn't break it up. I lost my mother I just had my yard sale on the ninth day of Adar. We had the problem of what to do on Purim and Shushan Purim. The Rambam says you do Avelut. We passing like the Ramah. It doesn't break the Avelut, but we don't do it. I was in Boston when the Rebbe was sitting Shiva for his wife, and he said Shiva and Purim because, like the Rambam, not surprisingly. Okay. Now, one last interesting thing. The Rambam, a few halachot later, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Zayin, says, Shivat Yemei HaChatanut Harehein Keregel. That a wedding is like if for the couple getting married, he's like a Yom Tov, like a regal. Umi shemet lo meit betoch yemei hamishteh, afilu aviv v'imo, mashlim shivat yemei hamishteh, simcha v'akach noeg shivat yemei aveilut. The Rambam says, what if someone got married and the third day, the father passed away, or the mother passed away? So you don't mourn immediately. You finish the whole week of Sheva Brachot, and first then start mourning. Once again, what do we see? We see that the simcha of getting married is seen as similar to the simcha of a Yom Tov. That's why you can't do both at the same time, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. But somehow the simcha of Purim, completely different. The simcha of Purim is so different, you can get married on Purim. And even according to the Rambam, you can do Avelut while you're happy. Right? And back to our original problem was that the Rambam in Hilchot Yom Tov is very specific that getting drunk on Yom Tov is not simcha. If you get drunk, or you get wild, right? Kalad Rosh, Holud, you know, your Purim Spiels, all that stuff, but on Yom Tov, terrible. It's not simcha at all. Purim is Purim. We have to understand it. So those are the makarot that I gave you. I didn't write down the makar I'm going to use for the answer, because that way you figure it out on your own. I just ran out of time. So. The Gemara, in a few places, in Erech, in one other place, discusses when you say Hallel and when you don't say Hallel. And the Gemara raises the obvious question, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? We say Hallel on Hanukkah. Right? Every day of Hanukkah, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? What happens to the miracle of Purim? So the Gemara gives three answers. The first answer the Gemara gives is Megillah is the Hallel. Reading the Megillah is the equivalent to saying Hallel. We read the Megillah, we tell over the entire story, that's as good as saying Hallel. Right? Then the Gemara gives two other answers. The second answer the Gemara says, we don't say Hallel al Neis Shebechutz La'aretz. After all, the story of Purim took place in Galus, in Galut, took place in Persia. We only say Hallel for miracles in Eretz Israel. The Gemara asks, what about Yitziat Mitzrayim, Pesach? He says, that's before we came to Eretz Israel. And then the Gemara gives a third, which is a strange answer. We're not thankful for miracles of survival in Chutz La'aretz, only in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara gives a third answer, says, you know why we don't say Hallel on Purim? Because we're still Avodim Tachashverosh. End of the story, you know, Mordechai may be number two, and Esther is still the queen, but Achashverosh is still the king. Right? So the Jews on Purim have won over its enemies, and it's a great success. But at the end of the day, right, the Jews are still in Paras u'Mordechai, and the king is still the same king, Achashverosh. So I heard from the Rav, and I read elsewhere that Rav Sim, from the Zalman Arbach, said basically the same idea. Let's ask another question. I know, must ask more questions. If you answer more, all of them at once, we could do it a little better. The one strange thing associated with Purim in many ways is Tanit Esther. Right? You look in the Gemara doesn't mention anything but a fast day at Tanit Esther. Right? Because Tanit is a day you're not allowed to fast. So we come up with all that kind of explanations, because Esther fasted, because the Jews were fighting, they must have fasted, but it's not explicit anywhere, you know. And it's also very strange. You know, we experience it every year. We spend a day fasting, right? We then read the Megillah, even though it's night already, we can't eat yet. Once we read the Megillah, we can start eating, right? We go from one extreme to the other. So, when Hapachu, of course, is part of Purim, for the Rav, and I said it from Zalman Arbach, explained that Purim is not only the story of our being saved from Haman, it's the story of how close we came to being destroyed. It's a story of Jewish vulnerability, as well as the story of our victory in the end. And the Tanit Esther part is the vulnerability, right? It wasn't just we're happy because we won, but we were in great danger, and then we were saved. So the Rav points out the nature of alcohol, of drinking alcohol. When someone gets drunk after drinking a lot of alcohol, so he's very stimulated, full of energy, wild, but it's temporary. What happens the day later when he wakes up the next morning? Wakes up with a hangover, right? It's an intensive expression of joy, but it's one that is not permanent. It's temporary. So think back to the last two answers that the Gemara gave on why we don't say Hallel. Right? It's a neis shebechutz la'aretz. What's the essence of Jewish existence in chutz la'aretz, of the Galut experience? That it's one that's temporary by nature, and there's always an element of vulnerability. I know we in America are pretty secure, but there's always an element of vulnerability. Right? So even when good things happen, and we defeat our enemies, and we get rid of the Hamans, we're not fully secure. Right? So our happiness is intense because we were saved from destruction. And yet, because there's always an element of vulnerability, it's temporary in nature. And that's why it's a nesha b'chutz la'aretz, because that's the nature of living in chutz la'aretz. And we still have Adam Tachashverosh at the end of the story. So taking that in mind, the difference is as follows. There's a commonality between the simcha of Yom Tov and the simcha of a wedding. A wedding, the joy we express at a wedding is not only for the moment, but it's the joy because of the new relationship that in Yirtzeh Hashem will be permanent, that we're establishing. Right? The wedding establishes a new relationship between the bride and the groom, which we hope is going to continue for the rest of their lives. So it's a change, a permanent change in relationship. The Yom Tovim, Pesach certainly so, but the Yom Tovim represent a growth in our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, which is meant to be permanent. Right? A closeness to the Kaddish Baruch Hu, even Yom Kippurim, is a day that we're being forgiven. We don't hope to be forgiven only for the moment. We hope that the tshuva is going to be a transformation in us. Purim, by its very nature, is intense, but not permanent. And that's why that which it was inappropriate in Yom Tov, the drinking, the artificial stimulation, the wildness, is because Yom Tov is supposed to represent the permanent change, a joy in life that continues in life, right? The Rambam quoted the Pasuk, because lo'avadatem Hashem Elokeichem le'simcha b'tov le'vav. Didn't say you weren't happy in Tov Levav on Yom Tov. It means your nature of your relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu lacked that joy and positiveness. Purim is a very different kind of experience. It's a unique experience that differs in kind, even though it's a day of Simcha, with Yom Tov and with a wedding. Therefore, the issue of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha applies to a wedding on Yom Tov because there's a commonality between the Yom Tov and the Chatuna. There's similar kinds of expression of joy, so one takes away from the other. But since Purim is fundamentally different, it's not a problem Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. And since the joy of Purim has within it the vulnerability and its temporary nature, then at least according to the Rambam, it doesn't contradict Avelut either. It doesn't contradict mourning because there's intense joy, but we know life is temporary. You're going to wake up the next morning, we're still slaves to Achashverosh. We're still going to, unfortunately, have the hangover after the drinking. It's not a permanent thing. Therefore, it doesn't contradict the same way the other smachot do, which is why the wedding contradicts the Avelot, and the Shivat Yemei Mishnah can pay first, and the Yom Tov eliminates the Avelot because the joy of Yom Tov, the transformation, outweighs the mourning. So we see from all of this that the Simcha of Purim is unique, and because it's unique, that uniqueness allows it to have two qualities. On one hand, it can be more extreme. It's more frenetic. But that fits with something being temporary. You know, that which you can do for one day and then it's all over, right? You can dress differently, you can make fun differently, everything different in one day and then it's gone, right? It's a kind of joy that's unique to its day, and one that has within it a recognition of the vulnerability as expressed in the Tanit Esther beforehand, and its temporariness in the fact that it doesn't change life, so that all other things of life can still take place. You have your weddings, you have your funerals, everything else can take place. It's not by itself a permanent change, and that, of course, is why Purim is the Yom Tov of Chutz La'aretz, because it symbolizes life, Jewish life in exile in the Gola, and which are joys, are remarkable, interesting, somewhat non-Jewish in our observances, because we do things we don't do any other, that are not normally done Jewishly, and it's ecstatic, but it's temporary. It doesn't represent the permanent kind of a change. The purpose of my giving this shiur, hopefully, was to clarify something about Simchat Purim, and also let's go back to the point I made when I started. I think a very important part of real growth in religious life is to catch nuances. There are those for whom, and I'm not criticizing where I am, but I don't mean to criticize those for whom, you know, the singing and dancing all the times in Shabbat are exactly the same. And for those who have a sense of nuance, that the atmosphere of Friday night and the atmosphere of Shabbos during the day and the atmosphere of the Suda Shishit, each one is a different aspect of Shabbat. I think it's a more sophisticated and nuanced expression is a deeper one. And understanding that Simchat Purim is unique and different than Simchat Yom Tov, I think it's important. For years, I tried to, in yeshiva, to somehow differentiate the Chanukah Chagiga and the Purim Chagiga. I kept on saying Chanukah and Purim are very different days. Right? But the singing and dancing seems to be the same. I have yet to be successful, but of course, one never gives up. Thank you for being Tzigur Rehin.